Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the prophetic experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive, with nationally known prophet Laron Matthews. Prophet Matthews has prophesied to Kurt Franklin, Ty Trabet, Bishop Rance Allen, many world leaders, just to name a few, and he welcomes the international world and families to his ministry. He recognized the pains, hurts, disappointment, and needs of the people through love, faith, prayer, and communication. God has anointed Prophet Matthews to be able to meet the challenges of a generation and people searching for an authentic message that reaches a pressure-filled life with the strength of God's love for them. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the service. God bless you.
Their life, Lord God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, when they come up against situation, Lord God, oh, God, in the Oshaya, God, and mountains in their life, God, they will be able to speak to the mountains, God. And, Lord God, those mountains will be moved out of their life, God. Oh, Father God, we thank you this morning, Lord God, because this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. We make a joyful noise unto you, Lord God. This morning, Lord God, we welcome you here this morning, Lord God. And, Lord God, most of all, we ask you that you forgive us, Lord God. Forgive us of our sins today, God. Sins of omission, sins of commission. Lord, we thank you that you're that balm on the elbow, Shia, God. You're that balm in Gilead, God. We thank you for you are a healer, Lord God. You are a deliverer, God. Yoshaya, God. You are a lawyer, God. And when we need, Lord God, you whatever we need on this day, God, and we bless your name, Lord God. Lord God, hallelujah. We pray for the visionary of the line and his family, Lord God, and his children, Lord God, that you will continue, Lord God, to strengthen him, Lord God, on this day. That you will continue to pour in and continue to raise him up above circumstances and situations, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, for Administrator Brian. Oh, God, hallelujah, and her family and her son, Lord God, and her sister, hallelujah. Oh, Father God, you're still, Lord God, in the miracle working business, Lord God. You said you never change, God. You're the same today, yesterday, and forevermore, Lord God, as we stand on your word, Lord God. Oh, God, you told us to ask anything in your son Jesus' name. It will be given unto us. And on this day, Lord God, we thank you for life. We thank you for life, Lord God. We thank you for life, Lord God. And Lord God, and we speak to all of those that come on the line, Lord God. And we say, live, 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 live. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Prophet Laron Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to his word, submit to his call, and submit to his commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paved for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to each and every one of you here on the Prophetic Conference Line and to our Blog Talk Radio audience. Amen. We thank and praise God. Hallelujah. For all of you that are here this morning, we certainly, hallelujah, bless God for just allowing us to be here. Good morning, Administrator. Is there any other announcement before we get into, amen, this we get into our lesson this morning.
Good morning, Evangelist. We'll play the commercial for the conference that's coming up, the celebration for Restoration Foundation Prophetic mm-hmm. Ministries. And also, please keep in mind that this coming Sunday is Love Sunday. We've adopted the third Sunday, and every month is for Love Sunday for Dr. Matthews. And if you desire to bless the man of God, You can do so by visiting the ministry website at WeRestoreTheLetterU.org. You can cash up at $RFPIM, or you can Zelle at WeRestoreU@Yahoo.com, and we'll play this commercial at this time. God bless you, Dr. Brooks.
Get ready. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries presents the 8-year church celebration, 231 East 146th Street, Columbia, Illinois. Dr. LaRon Matthews Sr., pastor. The anniversary celebration theme, it's time to make it count. March 25th through 27th, 2022. Kicking off Friday night, March 25th at 7 p.m. Bishop Nathaniel Matthews Sr., pastor of Way of Life Holiness Church, Joliet, Illinois. Saturday morning, March 26th, from 10 a.m. until noon. It's the Leadership Workshop. Your host, Apostle Greg Jacobs. Greg Jacobs Ministry, Chicago, Illinois, Saturday night, March 26th at 7 p.m. Apostle Linda C. Sherrill, International Deliverance Church Ministry, Chicago, Illinois, Sunday, March 27th at 11 a.m. It's Celebratory Reflection with Dr. LaRon Matthews and the Restoration Family. For more information, call 708-825-1988 or 877-912-2027. The Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries 8-Year Church Celebration, March 25th through 27th, 2022.
All right. Are you going to say something, Administrator?
No, ma'am. I just said God bless you.
Amen. All right. We thank and praise God. Hallelujah. Again, we just certainly honor the Spirit of the living God. We thank God for our visionary, Dr. LaRon Matthews. Amen. We thank God for you, Mother Sydney, for leading us in prayer this morning. Hallelujah. And Pastor Aaron, amen. Good morning. Again.
Good morning.
Amen. Well, we just, we hear and we hear in Jesus' name. And as you know that we had, I don't know, Administrator, did we get more questions than the ones that we already had on the table?
No, ma'am, not at this time.
Okay, good. All right, we have a mouthful this morning. And on our last segment, which was the first of Friday, we were given 5 questions. The first 2 questions we did answer. Amen. I pray that the people of God received what God has given. And before I start today, I need to make a declaration. I need to make a declaration because we have people from many backgrounds on this line, many walks of life, many cultures. And many of the people have come from different teachings and different church upbringings. I don't like to use the word denomination, just the first part of that word sounds like demon to me. So I'm going to say church affiliation or beliefs. And so the answers that I pray, are given are ordained by God. This is not something from a personal preferences. This is something that what God has given me, scriptures, and I'm going to utilize. Certainly, last night, I was even going through and reading some more. I was like, Lord, the Lord, I was just sitting still, and the Lord just started, hey, take me this scripture. And he led me from last scripture to another scripture. And that scripture, he led me to something. And when I got to this one scripture, I was like, Lord, I know it's in this word. I know it's here. Help me to find it, oh God, and he did. So I want to say the proclamation. This is not an attack on anyone. This is the word of God. And the only thing that I can say is the word finds you in a place of error. Most certainly, if you are sincere about salvation, about how that you are to live, pray, ask God to help you make those course corrections, as my daughter says, those course corrections, and do. Bible tells us that if we love him, we will keep his commandments. His commandments is from Genesis and to the last scripture in Bible, Revelation. Amen. The last word. First word is in. The last word is amen. Okay? So anything in between those two, you have to just know that it's the word of God. So our questions where we left off was, there's three remaining questions. We may not get even four questions, because I know that the first two questions may take some time. The three remaining questions are, why are there so many Christian denominations? The fourth question was, why do so many churches thrive while other churches die? And the fifth question is, what about people saying that Jesus is not God? Those are the three remaining questions. So we're going to deal with the third question. But before we dive into the questions, Pastor Aaron, you want to greet the people this morning?
Amen. Great morning, everyone. Like as Dr. Wolf introduced me, I'm Pastor Aaron Myers of Ark Family Fellowship, Marion, South Carolina. I just want to say great morning, great morning. I just want to just touch just a little bit on something that I know our leader's been sharing about this month of March. I know most definitely for those who listen to Dr. Matthews, I know he's been sharing, constantly that, this is a month of great expectation. And I want to share the word even unexpected. So for those who you may be expecting some things already, but God is blessing a lot of us, especially as the body of Christ, with unexpected things. Unexpected blessings. And I say unexpected, you don't have to be nervous about it. You don't have to have any anxiety about it. But God is giving us our heart's desires and then some. I mean, there's going to be some things, and I'm declaring this, that we've been looking forward to maybe 5, 6, 10 years ago. This happening right now, because now we're in a place of alignment. We're in the right place for it to happen. So I just want to share that with you all, keep pressing towards the mark. And there is nothing impossible through the power of God. So y'all stay focused. Stay in there. It might be hard sometimes. You might even waver, but don't let it keep you down. Don't let nothing keep you down that's going on. God got you. Nobody else does. Know that God got you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. That is a wonderful word of encouragement. Right? For our young people, our youth, those of you, make sure you can share with someone, post it out on Facebook, whatever have you, and let the people know that we are live here, right here on the Prophetic Conference Live and on Blog Talk Radio. If you have a comment or a question, you can text it to 06152. That's 334-440-6152. And that is the takes your question or your comment there on this morning. Just celebrating a birthday or anniversary just today or this upcoming week, we just wish you a very blessed one in the mighty name of Jesus. All right. Question number three, where we left off. Why are there so many churches, so many Christian denominations? All right. I want to start off, amen. That's why I made a declaration before everyone, when we started, that because there are so many different people that attend this line, they come from different backgrounds and different cultures and different teachings. But I want us to know that there is only one true church. That is God ordained. God ordained. Not somebody that said that the Lord spoke to them under a tree or they felt that, you know, this is what, no. The Bible tells us that God, he said, be holy for I am holy. God has established foundation in his word based off of two things. One is love and the other is holiness. That is what his very foundation is, according to the word of God. So from there, we need to understand, hallelujah, there's no segregation in love. There's no segregation in holiness. You either live it for him totally, and you have to be holy. Now, I'm going to give you the word. After you'll be able to respond, and then we'll go into the particular ones that I want to just pick out some that everybody is familiar with, and let you see why from yourself. This is somebody, the enemy is always coming. Remember this. He always wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He always wants to come and deviate from what God has said. So it doesn't matter who he used, because he disguised himself as an angel of light. So in this answer, this question, when we begin to talk about the different churches, what have keep in focus that the enemy has disguised himself as an angel of light. So he's distracting the people from the true essence of what God wanted. It may appear that some of the folks is serving God, but God has the final say so. So we're going to begin with Galatians, chapter number 1, verses 8 and 9. Why are there so many, we're answering the question, why are there so many Christian denominations? All right. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And I only can give it to you the way that God has given it to me. But though we are angels from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you. Who is the we? The we is the apostle. True church. Jesus, God manifest in the flesh. He came to save his people from their sins. In that, he picked 12 apostles, personally, how they were to minister the word of God. I want you to, I'm taking my time because this is so critical in this hour that we're in. And so therefore, they were the ones to establish the teaching that Jesus wanted. Not Hail Mary, not all this other stuff. You only come to church on one day, no other day. All that stuff is no. Listen. So here we have, amen, we have here that Apostle Paul is telling them, if we, but the we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be an accursed. So in other words, anyone that deviated from the beginning, which was what the apostles preached, they are an accursed. I didn't write the word. This is the word. And verse number 9. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you, than that ye have received, let him be an accursed. Now, it was a reason why Paul was saying this, because we know that he did many missionary journeys. And when you get to Revelation and started visiting the seven churches, Paul had visited them, those seven churches. They might be talking about the end times, but when you study them out in all of Paul's missionary journey, Paul had to tell the people, because there was one that was coming, and they were starting to tell the people about this, that, and the other. And they were straying them from the truth, from what God wanted, to include the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Sadducean Council. Those people, the religious folk, they were even not keeping what God wanted from the beginning, because Jesus even rebuked them about them and their tradition. So here we go. After I'm going to let you come in a minute. Let us go over to Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 25. And this is going to really suck. Ooh, Father. But when the Lord was dealing with me with this, I was like, my God, this is not the way I was planning on going. So I have to go where he said go. Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts. Said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought in every house. Oh, this is, I'm sorry, I'm jumping into the next one. I don't want to get to verse 4. But let's go back to this one about God has ordained. God is, there's only one church. when you look at the history, and Pastor Aaron, get ready because I'm about to turn you loose. When you look at the history of how these churches came about, the first one that broke away from the first group, you heard, we heard a church split. Church splits come about because somebody don't, that's how the denomination started. Somebody did not like what the original text was. So they broke off, they started their own, they believe in what God has said. This is how it started. So the first step, the first split from the original, what the apostles was teaching, was the Catholic and Orthodox Church. They were the first. The Catholics believed that Peter, who died in 66 A.D., that means after our Lord and Savior, we say after death. They were the first. So right until after Jesus had the apostles was born, that priest that died, apostles was still preaching and going, and after the book of Acts, chapter 2, day of Pentecost, they broke loose because they said that Peter was the first pope. We know that Peter was given the keys to the church. I want you to just really look at this. If Peter was the first pope and he was given the keys to the church, I don't think that what these people are doing line up to what Peter was doing. All right? He was the first one in office. So today, you have about 1 billion plus worldwide folks as Catholics. And one-fourth of the Catholics are doctrinally conversion. They believe in, you know, worshiping Mary. They believe in going to the priest and so forth and so on. This is what they do. Doing the rosary. They believe in praying to certain saints, certain prayers to get through. The Bible tells us, come boldly before the throne of God, casting all our cares upon him. I'm not saying we can't have prayer partners. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we're not supposed to have pastors. I'm not saying that. This is how that they have deviated. Many of the priests and members accept liberal living, pluralistic beliefs contrary to the church teaching. They already divided. I think that's why I had the scripture. House dividing against itself cannot stand. So they were already divided within themselves, and so therefore the Orthodox Emperor Constantine renamed the city Byzantine, in which the city became a leading patriarch in the Great Schism of 1054. So Constantine made the people followed him even further away from, in the next you have the Lutheran Church. 1517, Martin Luther, he came up with 95 theses, which challenges the Catholic belief. And from there, you have the Evangelical Lutheran Church, And then you have the Lutheran Church. So they even divide. Then you go on and on and on. You got the Methodists and Presbyterians and the Baptists and the Anabaptists. And you got the Jehovah's Witnesses and all of those evangelical churches. And the Adventists, and you know the Christian Science, who don't believe at all. Many of them think that they are their own God. So this is how the church, that's why there's so many there, because they deviated from what the apostles teaching. And they just got a little bit of here, a little bit of sprinkle of truth here, and a little sprinkle of truth there. But my Bible tells us, according to Galatians 1, 8, and 9, you come preaching any other gospel than what the apostles preach, let them be accursed. I would not want to be part of this. I want to say I attend or walk congregation. I do not consider myself having a denomination. Apostolic is a lifestyle. It's a teaching. Apostolic is a teaching. It's not a denomination. Not man-made. Pentecostal is a lifestyle, which means holy. So if I'm apostolic Pentecostal, I believe in the apostle doctrine, and I live a holy life. So when people ask me, what is my religion? I tell them I don't have one. I do not have a religion. I'm not part of a denomination. I live the word of God. All right, Pastor Aaron.
Amen. I'm just want to just repeat the question. The question was, why are there so many Christian denominations? I believe we touched on this question just briefly last time, but I know I shared that I grew up non-denominational, you know, I grew up non-denominational. My mother, she grew up AME, but her home church was a non-denominational church. So that's the church in which she was birthed from, spiritually, was non-denominational. So with that being said, I grew up being able to see both sides of a church that's non-denominational, or I would say more so spiritual, and then AME / Baptist church, you know. So I grew up seeing both, and then from growing up in ministry and visiting other churches, I've seen all different scales. So I'm saying this all, you know, to share that even with that, I'm not judging any other church. But there are times where we have visited, you know, our AME church in our hometown, which is in Georgetown. And don't get me wrong, I love the people that's there. That's my family. But when I'm sitting in that pulpit, I don't feel at home because I don't feel what's the word I'm looking for. I don't feel the movement of God sometimes, oftentimes. And you know, and as a matter of fact, I think this kind of might relate to one of the other questions about why some churches fail, some succeed. But I'm trying to stray from that for now. But why are there so many denominations? I'm looking at, like Dr. Rose, like you said, there are people from different backgrounds. Excuse me, I'm kind of walking a little bit. I'm going to this bus stop, but I'm okay. But anyway, there are people from different backgrounds. So, of course, when you're set in a certain tone, that's all you know. And you know what I'm saying? So even if, you know, well, I'll say this. For some people, they're all they know is AME. Some people, all they know is being Catholic, you know, and they're strong about it because that's all they know.
But I also want to say it's Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6. I'm just paraphrasing where it says, lean not to your own understanding. So right. we won't, sometimes if you're stuck learning just one thing, we're not going to take time to get to know the word for ourselves. You know, you got some people that will say, I guess for any religion or denomination in which they're serving at the time, a person may say, well, I'm Catholic. But they may not read not one scripture that comes from the Catholic Bible or their Catholic doctrine. I'm going to say it because I keep hearing the word doctrine. And that's a dangerous thing because even I myself, if I get so caught up on just the scriptures I feel that suit my present need, if I'm not careful, I will allow those scriptures to be my sole doctrine. You know, there's multiple words. I mean, there's so many words in the Bible, in the Word of God. And not just the Bible, I'm going to say in the Word of God. You know, so I'm saying that if I'm not careful, I could find myself straying into a form of doctrine, and then that doctrine, and I'm being careful how I'm saying this, that doctrine become a denomination. Because, you know what I'm saying, and I believe that's how even a lot of those have started, that people, you know, have picked whatever suited their mood or they felt they were comfortable to be with. So I'm not trying to read for comfort. Don't get me wrong. The Word of God, you know, when the times of trouble, yeah, you may find something that may bring your anxiety down. But see, if I'm just stuck on being comfortable, now I'm not trying to move and grow, then I'll be stuck in the doctrine. You know, just on one doctrine. There's nothing wrong with the doctrine, but if I'm just stuck on that one thing, that doctrine can become simply, like I said, a denomination. And you know what? And even now, especially as I begin to grow and mature in the word, I don't like the label Christian because Jesus was not promoting. Matter of fact, before Jesus, there was no such thing as Christianity. You just had people of God. There was a, you know, the world would say there was a man of God. You know what I'm saying? There was you know, the children of Israel. They were children of God. So you the label was child of God, or man of God, woman of God. There was no such thing as a Christian quite yet. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't quite established, okay, there was a Christian, because Christ was not even on the scene quite yet. There was a foretelling of Christ, but Christ is not on the scene quite yet, you know. So even when people say Christian, or matter of fact, I honestly believe when you look in the world now, people are more willing to accept an atheist or even a devil worshiper or any other person over a person who says, I'm a Christian, because of the examples in which we say. If you look at our culture, there are people in our culture who are still angry because if you look at slavery, you know, if you watch some slave, you watch the slave movies, or if there's any documents pulled up, that you'll see that the slave owners, they talked about, they constantly preach slaves, be obedient to your master. Now, it was not my son bust on pulling up. See you later. Yeah, but if you look at you know, the history of slavery, the owners would teach. Now, they would teach about the slave portion, but they never talked about, even the Word of God, it would say, okay, masters, be kind to your slaves. But, you know, now, slave was the term in which was used back then, you know what I'm saying? And then you can think about it, even if history class, you heard of indentured servants. That means, you know, they weren't quite necessarily a slave, but they worked your field, or they worked whatever you own. They worked in your land for seven, you know, I believe like one of the limits was 3 to 7 years or something like that, or maybe 10 years, depending on how that debt needed to be paid back or what was going on. You had indentured servants. But the Word of God even mentioned okay, be good, masters, be good to your slaves, or masters, be good to your servants. So, and so I'm just touching on a little bit of, you know, history, culture, just to share that, okay, people will get hung up on a specific thing and not want to go beyond that because that's their comfort zone. That's their, I want to say, control zone. Because, you know, even in the Catholic or there's even, you know, in Baptist or AME, some other religions, you have to pay your leader, not just tithes, not sowing a seed, but, you know, a Catholic of a person sinned or felt they did wrong or had intrusive thoughts, it would go to their quote-unquote the father or the bishop of that church. And they're sitting behind a veil, you know, a wall, confessing their sin. And they're paying that person. Jesus already paid the price. But see, now it's become a money-like thing with some religions. It's not a matter of, okay, your sin being washed. Your sin was already washed. You know what I'm saying? That Jesus already did it. But, again, I'm sharing that, and, you know, some people, you know, might get offended, you know, but it is what it is. You know, but, you know, I'm sharing even from a standpoint of me being a leader now. I'm being careful not to be so hung up. You know, I honestly, again, I cringe at the word Christian. I prefer to say I'm Christ-like. I'm aspiring to be more and more Christ-like. But I don't too much care for the word Christian either because of the fact of the, you know, the I'm trying to be mindful, but the stipulation behind being a Christian or what's being shown today, you know, there aren't too many, and I mean, it's kind of hard to say too many true Christians or what was believed to be Christ-like. I'm not saying we're going to be perfect. I'm not going to make any mistakes. But, you know, you will have people doing so much stuff, you know, even watch some medieval movies, and the people will proclaim you're doing something for the church. But you see in the movie or look in history how there were so many innocent people killed in the name of Christ. Not that Christ gave the order and said, oh, kill this person, but people will use that church or that denomination as an excuse to go past these certain means. They'll even wipe out people, innocent people, just for the purpose, and I say, of control, of a control zone. So I'm not trying to, you know, go too deep, but that's just where I stand on it. And again, I say Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, that we just can't lean on our own understanding. If you're going to get the word, get the entirety of the word. And that's my standpoint on that, Dr. Woods.
Amen. And as you were talking, yes, that scripture that I did quote, Matthew 12 and 25, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and they, the religious leaders at that time, and as the enemy was using them, he told them, he said that every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And now I remember why the Lord had given me that, because this is because of that, I told you, the split. The so-called religion or already divided within themselves after they started this, and so it's not going to stand. It's going to continue to divide. And when you look at this, after all of these divisions that have come, God is not about division. God is about unity. So the person that asked this question, which comes up a lot, why are there so many? You have to just think about it. Anything that goes when people want to have things their way, and you said it best, Pastor Aaron, lean not to your own understanding. Somebody, it only takes one person to come up with an idea it sounds good. Somebody and tell it to somebody, and that person is going to follow them. So they came up with this that they felt, I don't see nowhere that nobody went to Peter and start confessing, and they went behind a veil and all of this stuff. I don't see that. Even if they want to go back to the Old Testament, because people say, well, there were priests in the Old Testament. Yes, there was. But even if when the priest went behind the veil, look here. Glory. Hallelujah. Even when the priest went behind the veil, if they were not together, they were not holy, the way God had commanded them to be, they fell dead. I'm going to say that again. If they were not holy the way God wanted them to be, when they went behind the veil, they fell dead. God had a particular way that he wanted things to be. And most of the things was holiness. I keep saying that at all. And you have heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again. On the front of your Bible, regardless of what version you reading, if it says Holy Bible, some of them probably just took the word holy off. It says the Bible. But if it says Holy Bible, you see holiness. It's holy. At the end of your back of your Bible, there's nothing. There is nothing on there at all. So it's holiness, nothing at all. Amen. So we see this, and we know how it. Okay. I'm sorry, y'all. I got a little minute. Okay, I'm glad you're disturbing me, so you need to go. Okay? It's about to go dead, so. All right. So the holiness or nothing at all. And therefore, this is why we see, because they was already, a kingdom cannot stand. And so therefore they keep divided, and they come into desolation. So again, if they're not teaching what the apostle teach, if you see something is not aligning to what God has in his word, I'm not talking about a little here and a little there, a sprinkle here and a sprinkle there, because half of the truth is still yet alive. I'm going to say that again. Half truth is still yet alive. If you need to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And this is why we have what we have. All right? Pastor Aaron, you got any other comments on this before we go to the next question?
No, I just wanted to just touch on just how you open. Matter of fact, I'm going to get to that recent statement you made. And I'm going to say, I don't say a statement, but fact, recent fact that touched on that even how if the people weren't right with God, they weren't legit, they would fall dead. So that's one thing, you know, my grandmother, my overseer mother would say, God is not no play toy. So, and that's why we got to be careful. We can't just get so fixed on having it our way like it's Burger King or something. No, we got to really, if you're going to go in, go all the way in. You know, because I said it, I don't like the idea of being stifled. I don't like stifling my own growth. Now, I know we're not going to understand it all in one fell swoop. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to share this with people, that the word of God is called the mystery of the gospel for a reason. It's a mystery for a reason. You know, even the word says, he who dwells in the secret place. So if it's a secret place, it automatically becomes a mystery. So, you know, so when you enter into the presence of God, when you learn God, it's a mystery. There are things you can read a scripture 100 times over, but it won't be until that 100th time that something will unveil to you within that scripture. And it's not that you're trying to make something up. I'm just saying, just when you become in such a proximity with God, the closest with God, God will, you know, will yield some knowledge to you. I mean, without hesitation, if you want it. You know, I believe I shared our last Friday that I was asking God about some stuff. And, I said you got to even be careful about what you even ask from God, especially when it comes down to this knowledge, because God, once God gives you that knowledge, I'm talking about if you don't, it's one thing to feel peace, but when you feel a danger about something, that's when you know this is not a playing time. You know, every time is a praying time, but this is not a playing time. So even though what I was asking to me in my mind and my understanding, that's why I said it's not good to leave your understanding, because even in my understanding, I'm thinking, okay, I just want to know what this means. And the question is, do you really want to know? And I'm not trying to discourage anybody, but you got to understand, if you're going to teach, if you're going to share in this gospel, you have to be prepared to take some hard, sometimes even may seem bitter truths, but it's still sweet, it's still good. And, you know, it might seem a little tough, but it's still good. It's still good. You know, so I sense even a sense of danger, like, okay, if I mishandle this information any other way outside of the way in which God tells me, I'm done. I'm dead. That's how I felt. I mean, that's what I sensed. I'm like, you know what? And, yeah, this is Pastor Aaron Myers. I'm 26 years old in the flesh saying that I honestly felt the danger of when I was in that proximity with God asking, you know, specific things, and when God gave me the answer, it's like, okay, I knew. That's like you keep asking your parent, well, you know, the book fair coming up, the school got this, can I hold $10? Mom, you know, Dad, I need $10. You know, once your parent puts that money in your hand and they give you, you know, their parents who just don't, it's not that they're stingy or tight about money, they just simply don't play. You know, it was like one of those situations where you know, okay, once that money hits your hand, you better do as if what you're supposed to do with it. So when God, there are times when God unveils certain stuff to us, it's best to, okay, you're going to accept it, don't play about it, and don't use it unwisely. So I'm just sharing with that. I'm saying there's a danger. I know we're talking about multiple denominations, but I'm just saying, you know, y'all, let's not get it twisted. You know, yeah, God is very merciful, especially in our days, because we get into the Word, like Dr. Luke said, there were people who were literally dropping dead. They could not even take the presence of God. But for us to even in our mess be able to approach God, or God even approach us, we have come a long way when it comes down to grace and mercy. Because there was one time we couldn't have it like that. We could approach God with anything, and God would be so forgiving and so loving about it. Not saying that God didn't love us or love man before that, but the tolerance, there was absolutely no tolerance, and there still isn't. So let's not take this word lightly, y'all. So I believe it was a scripture of Galatians, which you read. And that's true. That's because that would be blasphemy. If I'm just fixated on what sounds good to my hearing or understanding, eventually that would turn into blasphemy. It's one thing to go to a lesson or go into a series or something. But now if I'm just running out, and it's the same thing from Sunday to Sunday, and every Tuesday Bible study, and every revival, and I'm talking about the same old thing. And I'm sharing the standpoint of I'm not trying to grow, I'm not trying to mature, I'm not trying to teach the people better. Because if I'm just preaching about talking to the storehouse, that's a problem. If all I can talk about is just giving offering, I'm not trying to do salvation, I'm not trying to offer anything else outside of that, that's a problem. Oh, just pay your tithes, you'll be all right. No, that's a problem. that's a problem. That's something bound to get me if I'm not careful, struck down on the spot. But I thank God for mercy. Come on, this is me saying, and I'm saying I know. You know, it's a time when you know people say act like you know. No, you need to know and move accordingly. Don't just act, because if you can act, that means you already know. I mean, you already had it in you to understand, okay, this ain't something to play with. You know, again, I quote my grandmother. She's gone to be with the Lord for since 2016. And my grandmother would say, God is not no play toy. Amen. That's all I got on that right there. Amen.
And Mary, to conclude on this question here, I want to say this. I think, you know, the Bible God don't leave himself without a witness. If you recall Paul, one of the greatest leaders all time in the New Testament, he told us, again, in Galatians 1 and 8, if we or an angel come preaching any other gospel than what apostles taught, what we teach, let them be in a curse. Remember, he was on the road of Damascus. His conversion helped him to come in alignment with what apostles or the disciples were teaching. I'm saying this so that we have now come to the light. Some of us is on the road of Damascus. Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Paul was a very intelligent man, very well learned. He knew the law. He knew all of that. He was raised up like the aristocratic. Well, he was, you know, top of the line. He wasn't no ludicrous. He wasn't no shade tree preacher. He knew, but he had an encounter with Jesus. And you made a statement about the mystery. That roll is going to roll us right into the next question. But I'm going to come back and visit that. But I want to get back here to Paul, who was first named Saul. And he said, why persecute thou me? When you read the encounter, I don't say the Bible has stories. I said the Bible has testimony. Stories is Jack and Jill, Humpty Dumpty, Little Red Riding Hood. Those are stories. The Bible is truth and amen. God's word is truth. So what I'm saying is, We know that Paul had this encounter. And the scales fell from his eyes when he got over to Ananias' house. But he got to where he was fit to be. And God had to do some converting for him to come out from what he believed. Because again, he was very, very well educated. He knew many languages. That's why he could say, I become all things to all men. He knew those cultures. He knew those backgrounds that he came from. And so therefore, if the Lord himself spoke to him, see truth. Some of us is having road of Damascus experience that the scales are falling off our eyes to let us know that whatever some things that we have been following after, it's time to be converted. Because why? As Pastor Aaron says, mystery, but I'm going to say revelatory knowledge has become. So now That rolls us into the next question. The next Father Help Day, Holy Ghost. The next question is number four. Why do some churches thrive while other churches die? I had to read this a couple of times. And the Lord God gave me an answer. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. May not be the answer that folks want, but I just, like I said, I have to give to you, for those of you that came on the line when we first started, so make this declaration again. There are many of you that on this side come from different cultures, upbringing, background, teaching, what have you. So therefore, because so many of us come from different parts of the world, whether we be on the blog side or on the conference line, we've been brought up to so many different types of four-wall congregations, four-wall doctrines. We have to get back in alignment with God's word. And Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Why that all of the denominations, like I said, I don't like that word because the first part of it, to me, sound like demons. Demons hate. That's just me. That's making it plain to y'all. All right. So it leads us why so many churches thrive and others die. They can't stand. They cannot stand. This is the reason why. Proverbs 29:18. For there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Jesus said, if you love me, my commandments. Verse number 19. A servant will not be corrected by words, but though he understands, he will not answer. Right? So when you look at 29:18 alone, it says, without where there is no vision. Just stop right there. I want to stop. I gotta take my time with this one. Oh, Lord God. I learned something in this question. The word vision is equivalent to the word revelation. No revelation. The Hebrew word for revelation or revelatory is chazon, chazon, which is an oracle. And so therefore, it's going to lead me to further go to Hosea, chapter number 4, verse number 6. You have to speak with me. Hosea, I sure said it, Hosea. Oh, you God was teaching me some stuff. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. We know knowledge comes from revelation. And some people, they just quote these scriptures, they throw them out there, but they just say it for whatever reason that they're saying. As Pastor Aaron said earlier, some people find scriptures to fit their agenda. We're not fitting our agenda. We're making the word plain to why these four-wall congregations, some are striving, some are dying. The ones that are striving are the ones that are pressing in, teaching the word that God would have to be taught to the people, holiness, teaching them love, teaching them where they're in error, teaching them how to correct, to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, we know we see many that are mega, super mega churches. You have to even examine them. They may be growing in numbers, but that doesn't mean that they have the truth. They may be growing in numbers because if I don't have personal contact with my pastors, I can go over there and do what I want to do, and I can hide. I can go over there with Sister X and Brother Y, slide, and do all the ungodly things that I ain't got to change and just say I could tote my Bible and I went to church and I belong to First Church on the Hill. Then it's okay. I'm going to grow. Yeah, I'm going to tell my friends about, ooh, I heard the word. But when it comes down to it later on in the week, well, what did the preachers preach this, you know, to keep you after you done walked out the door? Some folks don't even get out the door and they about cussing somebody out. It's whether they small or big. Some folks don't let the word get penetrated in their heart. So that Pastor Aaron said, the anointing is what destroys the yoke. They ain't found no anointing. All they did was, ooh, the music is what moved them and not the anointing. I'm going to say that again. The music is moving them and not the anointing. It's a difference. I can hear the word of God being shown up preached. And the anointing will hit me and make me dance and shout. And it don't have to be no music playing. Hallelujah. I can sit in my house and read my word. Hallelujah. And it has happened. I can be driving my car and the Lord will drop a scripture in me. The anointing will fall. Hallelujah. And I can have me a hallelujah good time by myself. Hallelujah. With the anointing of God. Let me say this. So just because the building is big, just because they got over 100 folks, mega folks, it does not mean that they are striving. They got to make that plain. So here, oh God, Hosea 4 and 6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. And thou shalt thou shalt be no priest to me. So this is why they die. And I'm going to get to this. Oh, God. I see it. Connection. Holy Ghost. God. God gave me another scripture that I was like, huh? I didn't get it. But I get it now. He just connected that. Okay, that's just for me. Hallelujah. I want you to underline, put your notes, that thou shall be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. See, they just stop at the first part of that scripture. They don't ever quote the rest of the scripture. They say, oh, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Why is the people perishing from the lack of knowledge? Because God has rejected the leader of that particular denomination or the particular house that they have started, and that they, you know, God led them to do this, that, and the other. And the people don't have any knowledge. They don't have any revelatory of the word. Going back to Proverbs 29 and 18, come on, somebody, where there's no vision, where there's no revelation, no word being brought forth from God, the people is going to perish. So, revelation means without God's law, the people will flounder. They will have struggles. They will thrash about wildly. They will just go about doing whatever they want to. Because why? David said it best. The word had I hid in my heart that I would not sin against thee. If I'm hiding the word in my heart, pretty soon that word is going to come and flourish. It's going to bring forth revelation. There's some oracles in the hiding. This leads us right, okay, into the next scripture. Isaiah, chapter number 9. Ooh, Father, oh, God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I just read to you Hosea 4 and 6. This is going to lead us to Isaiah 9 and 16. It tells us. You know that Hosea said that God has rejected the leader. This is why. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Ooh. Oh, my God. So the church is dying because the leaders, come on, let's go back to this. I need you to follow me. I'm going to borrow some words from the Vince here this morning. We're going to go to the mountaintop this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to read it consecutively now, without a pause or a break. Proverbs 28:29-18. For there is no vision, revelation. The people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Hosea 4 and 6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee. That thou hast no priest, but thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Isaiah 9 and 16. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they are led to them, and they are the led of them are destroyed. Okay? So therefore, and we're going to wrap this one up, and then we're going to turn it over to Pastor Aaron, and we're going to take a commercial, come back. 1 Corinthians, number 3. Oh, I got words. Yeah, it needs to charge. Okay. All right. And here, chapter 3, Paul is talking, discerning the thing. He says, now he that, okay, wait a minute. I want to go back to verse number 7. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither is he that waters, but God that giveth the increase. So if God is not giving the increase, the church is going to die. But if God is giving the increase through that revelation, through that knowledge of the vision that God has given to the leader and leads the people under shepherds that he has called, that's why he said he has given us pastors after his own heart. God knows who he has called. They just going on about their business. But now he that planted and he that waters are one. And it said divided. I'm going to read that again. Now he that planted and he that waters are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together. Remember I said earlier, God was about unity, not division. And we talked about question number 3. We are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Okay? According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed now how he buildeth thereon. And that goes back to what Pastor Aaron said earlier about even using doctrine to make a denomination. That's what happened. Paul said it in the beginning when we go back to Galatians 1. These scriptures is all tied together. I did not do this. God, Lord, I see why he had me to do this. Galatians started it off. But now we ended it up in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10. We have to be wise by the revelatory knowledge how God is leading. As God leads us, we have to be wise how we are building on the foundation which was already laid. He laid the foundation. He opened up the way. Ooh, Jesus did. And so therefore, when he taught that foundation, when he taught the way, through his disciples, they carried it on. Others came along. There was leaders that was not of God. And they began, because it says here, if we be laborers, we are one. We are husbandry. If you see somebody not trying to be the word of God, teaching unity, teaching what this word says. I ain't talking about a little here and a little there. I'm talking about line upon line. And precept upon precept, and the people don't have the knowledge, and the people begin to die, and the people begin to stray away from what is truth. That is it. Pastor Aaron, take it right now, and then after you speak, administrator, bring forth a commercial, and we're going to open up the floor. We're going to get to question number 5.
Amen. And just thank you, Dr. Wood, for, you know, all those, you know, supporting scriptures. I just called them out. You know, I was writing them, you know, putting them down myself. It's amazing because now with me being a leader now, it's important that I keep in mind that if I'm not in the right alignment, I can cause my ministry to either sink or swim. So it's important to stay in the right alignment. And just, you know, I just want to go back to a statement I about made earlier this morning. I was just sharing that the Holy Spirit is life itself. You got to look at life and what God represents in our life. So you can have a building. You can even have a church with the steeple on top, the tinted windows, you know, the glass stained windows. You can have the physical foundation of what a church is or what it's supposed to look like. You can have the programs. You can have the musicians. You can have ministers lined up ready to teach and preach. But if the Holy Spirit is not moving in that place, the life in that place is gone. The life in that place is gone. Because I shared this. That's why I shared my history of, okay, being raised in the church. Think about it. I'm 26 years old. So I have spent 26 years in the foundations of a, quote, unquote, a church or of the church. From with that being said, you know, that I'm counting all 26 years as experience. Even down to the newborn. Yes, that's experience because I was in that realm. I was in those atmospheres. So I'm saying that even from an early age, I became sensitive to atmospheres. You know, that I know not to even start nothing. I dare not start anything pertaining to God or the church if the atmosphere is not set. If the atmosphere is not in the right setting, I'm not gonna even do a service. If I don't feel a move on God, I'm telling you, I'm not gonna do it. Yeah, yes, there are times we must press our way and press our mark, but I dare not even make a mockery of God if I'm not gonna be serious about what God is saying or what God is doing or how God is moving. So I do have one supporting scripture, and it, you know, this scripture really just kept coming to mind every time I think about this question: why do some churches strive while other churches die? And before I get there, let me say one more thing, too, before I get to the scripture. A church can be full. A building can be full, but it doesn't mean it's striving. It does not mean it's striving. I don't even care if it's even in the financial department that church may strive. So if the question was leaning towards that, you know, because there are some churches, there are some mega million ministries. And they may be striving off the money standpoint. You know, you know, charisma is a powerful thing. But see, the presence of God is much more powerful. So a person can have the charisma to bring people in. And granted, people will stay because they may like the individual. Oh, I like so-and-so. I like the way he talks. But see, there's a thin line between a con artist and then the power of God, where a person knows how to move through the frequencies of God. See, a person can be charismatic all day, so of course you're going to want to visit that particular person. I'm going to say this, I'm not a charismatic person. You know what I'm saying? But people have drawn to me because of my walk with God. People have drawn to me because of my maturity. I'm not a person that I have to be seen by people. Or I look to draw people, you know, because that was never my personality. You know, I'm going to share this. You know, David was comfortable in staying with the animals. David was comfortable with taking care of the natural sheep, of actual sheep. But due to his passion with that, God blessed him with the whole kingdom, with the nation. So I'm going to share this from a standpoint. Why do some churches strive while other churches die? Financially, a church can strive all day long, you know, but spiritually, it can die because you'll have people that come into the church because they feel, okay, they need a covering. Some people may go to church on a Sunday just to escape being in the house. They don't want to be home. Some people don't want to be home with their spouse. They don't want to be home with their children. Some people may even send their parents that will send their children to church and they stay home, or they'll send their or they'll leave their children home if they're old enough to watch themselves and they go to church.
because they want that escape. It's not necessarily they're looking for God. They just want, some people want to escape. So if you have all these people that just go into a place of escape or shelter and not really seeking the word of God, spiritually, they're not even looking to hear nothing. They will sit in that atmosphere of music being played, a bishop or elder sweating and the mother praying, people shouting and screaming testimonies, but they're not looking for nothing. And that's wrong. That's why that church is that's why that thing will a ministry or that church, on a spiritual scale, they will fail. Even now, and I like how you mentioned the leaders. But I'm going to share Psalms 127 because, I mean, this kept coming back to me. And this is I'm going to read it in its entirety, but my focus is verses 1 and 2. And so for those who know Psalms 127, you are familiar with it. So it says, unless the Lord builds the house. That's verse 1. And that's the key point. That's the key point, unless the Lord builds the house. So I'm going to share that I can say – I can leave our church building right now, still keep the ministry name, but I may relocate. I may look for a bigger, better building, right? But if I'm not setting that atmosphere for that building that I'm looking to congregate at, you know, I'm looking for a place to congregate. If the atmosphere is not set, if I'm not moving on the word of the Lord or the will of the Lord, I'm doing that in vain. That means I've whatever money I've deposited or put down, or even if someone gave me the building, I've done it all in vain because the power of God is not moving in that place. So verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So that means we got our ushers just sitting out there. And they're going to do what they do, but they're just doing it for no reason. That means I've brought my ushers in. That's my watchman. I, too, was once an usher. So that means if my leader was not careful, we would have been building in vain. That means I would have been watching in vain. Yeah, people coming in, but nobody's getting delivered. You got people coming in, with problems, but leaving out the same problems. That's what you said. It goes in one ear and out the other. So they can hear the music, hear the trumpet sound, and hear everything going on, but there's no deliverance. Verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb of the war, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. You know, and I heard this, and I heard the word preparation. So even you got to even make preparation if you even desiring to have a ministry that's going to strive. You know, it doesn't mean you have to lash out or even go into spiritual warfare for everything. It just means that if you're prepared, you know, the word of God even mentions when you put on the armor of God, especially as a leader, you must be able to walk within the armor, walk fully guarded, and especially with the wisdom and knowledge of God. Because, you know, and it was something, you know, obviously we were talking about the other day, and we just said, you know, people would get hung up on stuff about what they know and what they believe and can manipulate the thing. Don't you know that the devil, that Lucifer himself knows the word as well and has used the word to manipulate or at least he came to try to attempt Jesus. He went on to try to tempt Jesus, and Jesus had good, and I share with people good godly sense. And yeah, if Jesus desired to, Jesus could have simply, jumped off the cliff and been caught. But see, he would have been moving out of the wrong alignment. You see, we don't need to use the word to try to prove a point. You know, I'm going to go back to verse 5. Let me go to verse 4. Psalm 127, it says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one youth. Happy is the man
who has his quiver full of them. So that means Jesus was already equipped for the assignment. You know, we got to come already equipped. It don't mean you got to prove your point. You know what I'm saying? It says, they shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. You know, Jesus could have very well turned Judas, could have really turned up on Judas. I mean, really dismissed him, wouldn't have to worry about nothing, but Jesus knew his assignment. Jesus knew that he came with a purpose. We got to come with a purpose, especially as a leader, especially when you know you're called to be a leader. I'm going to say, we as people, we know when we are called as leaders. You may not know at first, but when God calls you, you know. You have people that will choose to be a leader for the charismatic part of it. You know, people, you know, they see me, oh, you're a pastor, oh, okay. And they get excited because of, not because of the fact that the word in which I can bring forth, but, okay, they look at it, okay, he's a young black male, and he's a pastor. And they get excited about that fact. They get excited about the natural view of it. They don't understand that I had toiled and I struggled with accepting being a pastor. They don't understand that even at this young age, there are moments and times where I'm like, God, do I want this? And it's not a matter of if I want it. If God calls you for something, I know that it was best to go. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sharing this from a personal level, from a somewhat emotional level, that even in the midst of my concern, I don't have time to even worry, because if I'm not on point, like Dr. Wilson was sharing, if the leader is not on point, that ministry will crash and burn. So, yeah, we can have an influx of people coming in, but if these people, you know, I heard the word cesspool. I'm not trying to be vulgar, but I don't want to turn the house of God into a cesspool. Well, yeah, people may want to come to see, oh, we want to see this young pastor. We want to see this young man who's a pastor. They might want to come and see the young man who's teaching. But if they're not coming for the actual teaching, not coming for the word of God or the truth of God, that place will become a cesspool, because you just have people looking for a spectacle. So, yeah, for the purpose of a spectacle, the house will be full. But who's getting delivered? Who's leaving the house? Who's leaving the house full? So the house may physically get full, but who's leaving the house full? Now, I'm going to have people looking full. I'm gonna be a fool, you know, because I'm just sitting there allowing people to come in. And the thing is, for those who are spiritually sensitive as a leader, you know that the atmosphere ain't quite right. You get to a point where you can almost pinpoint, even if you don't know the individual, if you got a room of 50 people, you probably can feel, hold up, something ain't right. It's probably about 10, 12 who ain't getting it. It's probably about half and half. You know, now you got to seek God, even in the midst of you being up God, okay, something got to shift because it's atmosphere. I know this is not of you. You know what I'm saying? So I say all that to say this, that this is my personal take on why do some churches strive while other churches die. Like, I can share my ministry. Member-wise, we don't have a huge influx of members, but we've had times we had a huge influx of visitors. You know what I'm saying? Everybody who came to this ministry did not come necessarily for membership. You know, there are people who stayed for seasons. They might have stayed for a year, they might have stayed for two, they might have stayed for three. But they came, they got what they needed, and they moved on. And we could not take no fault with them. They weren't members, because I'm saying this, the multitude followed Jesus. Jesus was not trying to build a church necessarily. But Jesus knew that the embodiment of church was in him. So yeah, that's what I want to share. So people, I mean, I don't want people getting caught up. Well, man, we don't got a whole lot of members. Everybody's not a member. Everybody's not going to be a member. But you're going to have an influx of people looking for something they're going to come in. Even on a financial standpoint, yeah, you know, that money can be rolling in, you know, and that church account's going to be looking real good sometimes or a lot of times or maybe all the time.
But if people aren't being healed or aren't being delivered, not just saved, it's one thing to be saved, but if people aren't being set free, that ministry is not striving. I mean, people are looking frowned up or piled up or feel the type of way, but if people are not being delivered, that's not a sense of striving. Yeah, financially, y'all may have it. Y'all can go on your church trips. You can go out to eat. You can do stuff. But if people aren't being delivered and set free, that's not striving. That's my take on that, Dr. Wood. So that's all I got on it. I thank y'all for your time.
And right before we go into commercial, I'm going to just say what the disciple says, silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, I give to thee. In the name of Jesus. Hey, glory, hallelujah. And those that, after he said, in the name of Jesus, the man that was sitting there, he was healed. So when we give them, hallelujah, the word, because the word being manifest in the flesh, we give them Jesus, hallelujah, they're going to come forth, all right? And they're going to, like you said, they're going to thrive, all right? Administrator, come on, give us a commercial, and we're going to open up the floor for questions and comments, because I know we just said a lot. Hallelujah.
Get ready. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries presents the 8-year church celebration. 231 East 146th Street, Harvey, Illinois. Dr. LaRon Matthews Sr., pastor. The anniversary celebration theme, it's time to make it count. March 25th through 27th, 2022. Kicking off Friday night, March 25th at 7 p.m. Bishop Nathaniel Matthews Sr., pastor of Way of Life Holiness Church, Joliet, Illinois. Saturday morning, March 26th from 10 a.m. until noon. It's the Leadership Workshop. Your host, Apostle Greg Jacobs. Greg Jacobs Ministry, Chicago, Illinois. Saturday night, March 26th at 7 p.m. Apostle Linda C. Sherrill, International Deliverance Church Ministry, Chicago, Illinois. Sunday, March 27th at 11 a.m. It's Celebratory Reflection with Dr. LaRon Matthews and the Restoration Family. For more information, call 708-825-1988 or 877-912-2027. The Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries 8-year church celebration, March 25th through 27th, 2022.
Prophet LaRon Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to His Word, submit to His call, and submit to His commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paid for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
Go there in 1 minute and think it's going to be ready. Don't work like that. Okay. All right, people of God. We are at the top of the hour. Amen. And we're opening up the floor for questions and comments. Administrator, do we have any comments from the blog side? Those of you that's tuning in late, tune in afterwards, we're continuing with our questions that we had. I made a declaration before we got started that we have many backgrounds, many teachings that have been taught to us. We want to be like Paul on the road of, Saul on the road of Damascus, with the scales are going to fall off our eyes. Amen. I know that even now, Pastor Aaron said he's 28. You said 28, Pastor Aaron? Amen.
No, 26. 26,
amen. And I heard you on up. 26, I'm 40. Amen. I'll be soon to be 60, so I don't mind telling my age. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm still learning. I'm still learning every time I pick my brother that was taken born after me. He was calling me. He was at the hospital with blood pressure. Please pray for my brother, Carlos. He was when I was studying the stuff, he said, "What you doing?" I said, "I'm reading my word, studying." He said, "You got enough education. When you gonna stop?" I said, "I ain't gonna never stop learning. I got to learn. I got to continue. I got to teach. I got to learn so I can be able to teach. hey, I don't know enough. I don't, if God's not teaching me, I might as well go ahead, even with me still breathing, just open up the casket, put me in there, dress me up, it's just a note. And then I just have to suffocate that because I'm serious about this thing. I'm laughing, Lord, glory, hallelujah. I cracked myself up. All right, administrator, if you got a comment, you don't want to be audible, you can text 334-440-6152. And I'm sure we were careful not to bash anyone. I don't think that we did that this morning, and not that we try to do it any time. But I'm just saying, I believe that we were led by the word of by God to give you the word. And so, administrator, is there any comments or questions from the blog side?
Good morning, Ben. Well, we do have various several comments that are in the blog, and we appreciate everyone that's listening in on this morning. And made the comments, thank you so much for this teaching. We truly needed it, and what some powerful questions on this morning. They truly appreciate you all breaking it down.
Friday of the month, and we want you to ask the questions. This is what we're here for. We just not here to just be yakking at the jaw and flapping at the lip. Ooh, I'm cracking myself up again. Hallelujah. Y'all pray for me. I got it. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to move on over to the conference line. Anyone have a question or a comment from the conference line? Please. Star 6 your line. Remember, we are live all over the world. Don't hesitate. Amen. Star 6 your line and make sure your line is unmuted and make your comment this morning. Your question. Is there anyone?
Good morning, Dr.
Good morning.
Hello, woman of God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, this is Angel from Baltimore. I never get on this line. I didn't even know this line was on until I read the notes that Pastor Carlina gave to me. Carlina gave to me for the notes of when the we get on prayer. This morning, I just was led to get on here and I woke up out of a dream, and I'm glad that she was teaching. As soon as I got on the line, she was talking, teaching about, why churches, some churches thrive and some churches die. And I woke up out of this dream of a pastor that I used to go to this church that's down the street from me. The ministry just closed down, and in this dream, the pastor I was up praying, and I was in the Word, and I was listening to BibleGateway.com, the Bible, and I had my shofar blown in my house, because I was in intercession, and all of a sudden I saw this woman that I knew who was a pastor. That was sitting at the table, and she had like her bra on, and her breast was oversized. And in the dream, I heard, pray for her. Her breast died. I said, whoa. And I woke up out of my sleep, and I said, Lord, what does this mean? And while Dr. Carlina was ministering this morning, as she was ministering, I was listening to her, and all of a sudden I heard the great whore. And then I said, where is that at? And so I started looking up in the Bible, and it was Revelation 17, the great whore of Babylon. And as I was reading that scripture, I said, oh, God, what are you saying now? And I know the prophetess Carlina had been preaching about Revelation, the 17th chapter,
I mean, what she's been preaching, doing a series on about the church and, you know, in Revelation. She's been doing a teaching on studying about the church in Revelation. And I'm saying, God, what are you saying now? And this is like, to me personally, confirmation. And when you came with the scripture prophets, keep calling prophets, Dr. Carlina, when you came with the message this morning, and you were teaching, and then Pastor Aaron came on, and he started quoting the scripture, and then you talked about a church without, you know, people without, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge, but without a vision, the people perish. And I believe truly that what's happening is that God is shutting down churches, that people that have not sought him for vision and asked God for vision concerning the work of the kingdom of God. And I believe that God is shutting down these, like you said, these big mega churches that have, like where they are buying, you know, turning the house of God into a merchandise center, you know, where, you know, they're, everything is about money, 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 greed and money. And there's no vision, because if you have vision, you would be able to reach out to those lost souls, that, like the homeless and people. And I thank God for that message, Dr. Carlina, because it was on time. That message was on time. I never in my life had a dream like this, and it was so real. I had to get up, and I had to write this vision, I mean, this dream down. And I believe that God is drying up the breast. No longer they will be able to feed God's people, his babes that are coming in, because it's all about selfish motives and selfish intent. And they have, you know, God's church has been, you know, have been turned into what, you know, Revelation talked about, the great whore. You know, they're not living the life that God has told them to live as a leader. And I just wanted to throw that out there. I said, God, what are you saying right now to us as a church? And that I've been praying, God, raise up godly leaders that will hear your voice, that will listen and obey you. I just wanted to share that this morning. God bless you.
God bless you. As I stated this morning, this may not be teachings that you hear on daily or from a historical place. And I, to tell the truth, I was not planning on going. When I first heard the questions, I had a whole different thought pattern of how to answer the questions. Like I said, I listened, I sat with my Bible here open. God began to give me, because how he speaks to me, he gives me one or two words, or he'll give me a title, and then he'll lead me into all of the other ways to try to get the message of what he wants. And so these, the way that the Lord, and especially after I was getting so upset, I made a phone call to somebody. I said, I know it's here. I can't find it. I'm getting upset, because I know I read this, that, you know, the leaders, God was getting to, was to punish the leaders for not passing on. And I still know that there's another passage. I haven't found it, but I know. But when he read, when I didn't understand Isaiah 9 and 16 in the fully, but I read it. I know. But that's what I was looking for, because God was putting it in my spirit. And now this morning I see how it tied into Hosea 4 and 6. Come on, Apostle.
Mm-hmm.
Apostle Simmons. Is you're speaking, man of God, we can't hear you because your phone is still muted. Okay, I don't know. We might have lost you. All right. So this is important. And as you say that, yes, woman of God, this is when you said that die, he said he won't follow them, you know, and you said the breath is die. Or we can look at this, too, as he is the vine, and we are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
Again, even though you see a tree, and it has many branches on it, it doesn't make them divided. That makes them one because they're attached to what? To the main trunk. Even if you cut off that branch, part of that body, it doesn't sound, it's going to sound crazy what I'm saying. If you cut off that branch from that tree, yes, it's going to die physically. But it's going to live on. I hope this makes sense. So this is what God has given. I don't know how it's going to. I'm just going to say it. Even though the branch is cut off the tree, it dies physically because why? It's not attached to the lifeline. But
I
it lives
see.
Because that branch is being utilized as a chair, but still being utilized. It might be a bookcase. It might be a table leg. It might be, you know, something. It started from something from the beginning. It's still alive in that essence that it has another form. So what am I saying? Because when you look at, when we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, I'm going to go there again. When you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter, it says, I don't want to paraphrase. I want to read it. That there. 3 and verse number 8. And it says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are the God's substance tree, and ye are God's building. Still come together. Anywhere many members, but we're yet one body. We may have, somebody else might be the fingernail, somebody else is the finger. This is important that we understand the right placement, how God wants it, how God has ordained it, how God is, going back to what Pastor Aaron said, the mystery, the revelation. Vision means revelation. You have to understand that without revelation, the people is going to perish. They're going to what? They're going to squander. They're going to fall. They're going to just do what they're going to lose, which means they're just going to go off and do things. And because why? They're straying away from what the extension that God wanted. We can't say this. He said it. That's one of my favorite things. Say no, have it your way. This is not Burger King. You can't come and say, I want it this way. We can't lean to our own understanding when it comes to, again, if the priests did what they wanted to do and they went behind the veil, they dropped dead. Because why? God had standards. He had standards of how he wanted things. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. We can't just be my church. Yes. I'm going to say this. People say we gather the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'm going to say this, and I hope people don't get offended. Same. He's still progressive at the same time. I'm going to say that again. God is still the same, but he's progressive at the same time. How so? He's still the same God that said, let there be. So he was progressive, and every day he began to change things. He was progressive when he put the water in place. He was progressive. He still was the same God. He was progressive when he made man. He still was progressive when he just put the trees and divided the water, put the animals. He was progressive, but he still was God. He was progressive as he moved from generation to generation. He was progressive in showing the people who he was, but he still, yes, was the same God. Every step of his progression showed love, showed perfection, showed, in the beginning, he showed always, all through his progressiveness, he showed the ability to protect. He showed the ability to judge. He still did not change. We have to understand this in the essence. When we read this word, we can't take it how we want it. But we have to allow God to let the knowledge, because all wisdom and knowledge come from him. I don't care how many degrees I got. I still say I'm an educated dummy. Now, that's for me. I don't have to fit you. I am an educated dummy because why? If God was to strike my brain, I still got them degrees, but I don't have no sense of how to use them. So that's why I say I am an educated dummy because he is the leader and guider of my thoughts. He is the one that helped me put the knowledge together in order to be able to speak. To put it, you know, and he told me, giving you the gift of knowledge. God told me that. I was like, well, God, if you gave me something, you're going to have to see how to use this because I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with this. My doctorate may be in ministry, but I have no clue. Or what to do unless God leads me, because I don't want to be like these ones. And he said, I am not his priest. I have to be led by him. And when I'm led by him, others may not like it. Take that up with God. They can attack me as a person, but they have to look if they really sit back and look at the source. What God is saying, then it just needs more easily to be received. Because we say, if the word of God is a two-edged sword, it's going to cut it one way, but it's also going to come back and it's going to heal or soothe the other way. So I pray what I'm saying this morning, hallelujah, is we are all on the road of Damascus. We are all, scales are falling off our eyes to what we thought was right. See how God comes back and he brings revelatory to bring out knowledge so that we can live and not die. And hallelujah. I don't know if Apostle came back. Apostle, are you there, sir? Might have got to work or something. Anyone else with a question or comment? 6-9. Can y'all hear me? Okay, I'm just going to make sure my phone wasn't muted. Anyone else have a question or comment? This is your time. Our 6-9, if you're talking, we can't hear you. Administrator, you still there? I thought it was maybe I was just talking and You know, sometimes it's be getting disconnected. All right. Any questions or comments, people of God? All right. We pray that those that answer those questions, we're going to get to question number 5. You have to come back for part 3. Amen. And we pray that the questions have been answered. Why are there so many Christian denominations? And like I said, I don't like that word because it sounds like demons. And why do some churches strive while other churches die? And I'm going to repeat for some of those that are coming on the line. The scriptures that came this morning was Galatians chapter number 1, verses 8 and 9, Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, and Mark 3 and 25. That says about the same as Matthew 12 and 25. And we have Proverbs 29, verse 18. Isaiah 9:16, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, Pastor Aaron brought forth Psalms 127, verses 1 through 5, I believe. And I believe verses 1, if you're taking notes, from this, we're going to get back to the verses 1 through 5. That's the entire division right there. Psalms 27. That actually psalm came from the writer of that psalm was Solomon. Verses 1 through 5. So, there is no other questions or comments. This is the last go around. Don't, if you got a comment, don't hold it back. Because you don't know who you're going to be helping. Amen. There's somebody out there needs to, you don't want nobody's blood on your hands. But God has put it in your spirit to say, make a comment, please do so. Anyone?
Good morning. I just have a comment. I think this is my first week. It's last Friday. And I think that, you know, this topic is great, you know, thinking about the same thing, that has fallen away, because the Bible said in the word that there will be a great falling away. And I never knew what this scripture meant until today. And I was also agreeing with the part when you said you didn't like that word, denomination. And I just never did. It's so outdated, the word itself. I mean, denomination pretty much outdated. But anyway, I just want to get on the line, try to get on the line about 5 times. Congratulations.
Amen. And there is a great falling away. There's a great falling away because those that are in leadership, I'm going back to what Pastor Aaron said. There's a great falling away because there is those that have made, and the scripture tells us, don't make merchandise out of God's people. They made merchandise out of God's people. It's all about what they can get. there are some that are not concerned about the soul. You know, they say, yeah, we growing. They might show a clip or two of you feeding, you know, hungry children or help building a house or here or whatever, whatever. But how many do you see them showing the miracles, the signs, the wonders? How many of you just seeing them where the power of God is falling? People are being slain in the spirit. Healing is transforming. I mean, when I say real, I mean, shown up healing. I ain't talking about this fake stuff. You know, we know such and such and such, and we got you know, a crutch over here, and, you know, we gonna stage this. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about hallelujah, because I know that that happened on this line. If somebody was sitting up there and they heard the word of God, and the anointing hit and dried up. Cancer. The word hit and dried up AIDS. The word hit and dried up diabetes. The word hit and dried up hypertension. People call it high blood pressure. The word of God hit and it dried up, you know, orders that were going on in the body, the physical body. So the great falling away is that which God has said in here, and I can't stress, like I said, I did not really understand. I knew that God was leading me to the scripture, but I was like, God, Hosea. Because, you know, people don't teach too much out of Hosea.
No.
But it says, but I will reject thee. You know, they always talk about the people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge. This is why the great falling away is. Because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. And thou shalt be priest. Me. That's a problem right there within itself. If God is rejecting, that is what's being produced. And the people are dying. They're falling away from what God wants. God wants truth. The whole part. He said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Well, the many are hearing the voice of God, but they are rejecting it, and their hearts are becoming hardened, and they're following it. Even in, oh, glory be to God, hallelujah. Even that which I was teaching on last Sunday, about the chapter 13, about how the Antichrist, see, people got it all mixed up, and I'm talking about the beast from the sea. And how the Antichrist is going to send the strong delusions to the people. And they're going to start falling after them because he's going to set up a fake healing. They're going to see that he's being healed. And this is going to bring on, that's in this word, revelatory vision. That is what God wants to be projected from the word of God. I ain't leaving me out. If we continue to go in our way, we are going to go land in the devil's hell. I'm not taking that bad. Hell was not created for you and I. Hell is created for Satan and the one-third of the heavenly host that fell with him. For those that are continuing to walk in the deceit of the following that he has done, those of us that said we saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, if we are not changing the way God wants us to change. We cannot, he says, we rise up in the newness of life. If we are born again, We don't do what we used to do. We don't act like we used to act. There should be a distinguished change. A caterpillar don't stay the same. He go through a metamorphosis state. When he comes out, it comes out as a butterfly. And there's many beautiful butterflies. If he comes out still looking like a caterpillar after he's been in that metamorphosis stage, something's wrong. The word of God said, come as you are. But it didn't say, stay as you are. We come broken. We come disgusted. We come torn up. We come unsatisfied. We come all kind. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm not trying to preach this morning. Hallelujah, but come on, preacher, come on forth. We come, however we come to the Lord. But we should give him our old tattered garments, hallelujah. In exchange, he will give us a robe, pure white. Hallelujah, my God. He will change us. Hallelujah. He will change us if we want to be changed for the better. We don't have to hold on. All the old stuff, the old baggage, he told us to lay aside every weight and every sin that's so easily to beset us. We have a responsibility to line up to this word. We can't blame cat, dog, neighbor next door, Deacon X, Sister Y, Prophet, Popcorn, Cloud. I hope there ain't nobody last name Cloud. But I'm just saying, I'll say keyboard, then that makes it so they can't say me as Cloud. But we have to make sure that we get this word, and we will not be led astray, that the anointing of God will manifest itself, that all wisdom and knowledge comes from God above. We lack it, ask him. He will give it to us. All we have to do is ask him. And then when we ask him, let us not just take it and make it twisted the way we want it. Let us abide by what he has said. It might come hard, but the more we accept what God has said, it'll become sweet to our soul. So I'm saying this morning, if the scales have fallen off our eyes, as we are on the straight and narrow way, hallelujah. As we are on this straight and narrow way, someone has a comment. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse number 8. And it says, and a highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. Clean shall not pass over it. The unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those, a wayfaring man, though fool, shall not err therein. So what it's saying here, that the word is so plain, that if we wayfare or if we a fool, we won't err. if we follow the pathway of holiness. God has only one church, and he is the orchestrator of that church. And anything else outside of what he wants is false and is not. Father, we thank you on this morning, oh God. We give you all praise, glory, and honor this morning. Lord God, we thank you for allowing the scales to fall off our eyes. We ask right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, wherever we are erring in, according to your word, we ask that you help us, oh God. Help us to accept your word. Help us to hide it in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Help us, oh God, to repent, to turn away from our own ideology. All of the teachings that is not fully your truth. Lord God, I ask right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, to help us accept you the way that you would have us to be. Forgive us, oh God. Forgive us a sense of omission, sense of commission, those presumptuous sins. Oh God, hallelujah, for even the thought that is in our inner subconscious, Lord, that has not manifested itself of course yet. We ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, help us to take this word on today. Go back and study. Go back and digest it. Go back and help us, oh God, hallelujah, to be, Lord, be careful how we are building on the foundation that you have laid. Oh God, let truth rest, rule, and abide. Let, oh God, hallelujah, our countenance be changed, oh God, that men, women, boys, and girls may see you and glorify you, which is in heaven. We thank you. We glorify you. Father, hallelujah. All of those that have not accepted you as their Lord and Savior. I pray, oh God, hallelujah, that the last segment and this segment, that they will listen and they will know truth and they will know knowledge, oh God. Begin to line up to your word to be saved. Lord, it's not about Carlina. It's not about, hallelujah, anyone on this line, but it's about your truth that it resides, oh God, because at the end of the day, when we stand before your throne, you are going to question us about what we have done with the word of God we have received. God, I thank you. God, I praise you. God, I glorify you. In the magnificent, wonderful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. All right, people of God, hallelujah. Praise God for those of you that have joined us. If you want to, amen, get a copy of this recording, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Prophet LaRon Matthews. You can go back to any of the teaching back to July 7th, 2013, and you can get a copy of any teachings that is out there on the blog side. I'm teaching on the daily. You can email LaRon Matthews Ministries@gmail.com. The date and the time that you want, amen, or you can text 334 440 6152. Make sure you put the date and time of the recording that you desire to have. And allow 48 to 72 hours for it to come to you either by text or by email so that you can get the word delivered unto you. We thank and praise God for you coming. We pray that you will join us again in the morning for our very own Apostle Simmons, who will be coming in the morning at 5 a.m. Central Standard Time for the Prophet's Touch. Amen. Hallelujah. And then we will hear what thus said the Lord from the man of God. Be blessed. I say shalom. The next time that I'm on the air. Administrator.
Like never before, we're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yeah.
Anoint my feet.
Celebrate
and
down.
Raining down here on the battleground.
For your glory,
for your glory.
We're taking
territory, fighting unseen enemies.
Like never before,
we're waging war.
I'm tired of principalities messing with me.
Waging war.
Tired of the devil stealing from me. Yeah.